Well, thank you, Jonathan, for singing that. I was taking notes. It seems weird while I take notes during a song, but some phrases that got me. Redeemed, I'm set free, and God's not done with me yet. You realize that, right? As you believe in Christ, you've been redeemed, you've been set free. God is never finished with you. Kind of fun. We have Jonathan growing up, you know, here at the church and stuff like that. Quite a young man now. Track guy, runs, all around good guy. We're just glad that you're here. Thank you for singing for us. That was beautiful. Just a beautiful song. Memory verse. We have a new memory verse this month. And it's in your bulletin. And it's going to be in your bulletin. So if you would take your bulletin, we're going to read it together. And it's from Galatians, and we'll say the scripture reference and then the verse and then scripture reference again. So the little blue part on the front of your bulletin, here we go. Galatians 3, 24 through 25. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Galatians 3, 24 through 25. Well, I don't know if all of you know that my good friend, Tommy Wire is back. You all know Tommy Wire? So he's back in town, and he's kind of been working on his house, and a couple of us have been helping do some things. So when you see him, I think he's coming second service. Might be here for Sunday school, but coming for second service, but just welcome him. And I, you know, we decided to catch up and have some dinner and stuff and then go to a movie. And I said, of course, in my best Minnesota accent, you know, hey, Tommy, let's go to the movie. But I bet you at this movie that we decided to pick out, the hero in the movie is going to die. Tommy was like, well, he goes, heroes don't die in movies. There's no way the hero's going to die in this movie. I said, well, okay, you know, I'm not a betting man. You know, I'm a pastor. But in this case, I'll bet you $100 he dies. Tommy says, you're on. We go to the movie. We're watching the movie. We're having a good time. And sure enough, the hero dies. We get out. Tommy goes, here's your 100. I said, Tommy, seriously. No, here's your 100. I said, Tommy, I got to be honest with you. I saw the movie. I saw the movie already, and I knew the hero was going to die. He said, well, I want you to take this. You still have to have this 100. I said, why? And he said, well, I watched the movie too, and I didn't think the hero would be fooled the second time. That's what he learned out in Washington, right? So, well, for all of us, I think we've all lived in some historic moments, right? Every one of us, I don't care how young we are, how old we are, you know, there's talk about World War II and, of course, the assassination of JFK and landing on the moon and just a whole bunch of stuff. You guys remember when Ronald Reagan was shot? And that scene where he's pushed into the car by the Secret Service. And, you know, we had Columbine. We had 9/11. We've had so many things that have changed our lives, these historical events that somehow have changed our lives. And even the tech age has really changed our lives. So think about something that might be historical that we could do that would end up being historical. How historical would it be to have clean drinking water for everyone in the world? How historical would that be? Now, we've talked about water before. We've talked about the importance and the role it plays in our lives, from our physical makeup to even our spiritual makeup in Jesus Christ, because he is the living water. But we also have talked about floods and rain and storms and puddles and sprinkling your yard, all those sorts of things that have to do with water. In fact, as I was typing, getting ready for this message on a couple of the days, it was raining. And so it kind of fit. And you'll see at the on the title, we're using the word spring, and we're spelling it S-P-R-I-N-G-G. We'll get to that in a moment. Well, Thursday morning at 4:45 a.m., I dragged Michael out of bed, at which time he usually says, I hate my life. And I chuckle at least at that. And he's like, "Dad, it's too early to go to play tennis. Who plays tennis that early in the morning?" And so we drove down to the West Indy Racquet Club, which is where he trains. And fortunately, I know after he gets his hour of tennis in, he's in a much better mood. But as he was pounding, the ball on the court that early in the morning, I walked around the other courts. There's a bunch of other courts there. I walked around them for about an hour. Usually I go running when I'm there, and I plug in my headphones, and I listen to some music and stuff like that. But Thursday, I listened to a podcast from Entree Leadership, and it really blew me away. Scott Harrison, who grew up in a solid Christian home, raised a Christian guy, he left his faith, and he left his family, and he went on to be a club promoter, and all kinds of clubs, if you know what I mean, not just, rock and roll and dance centers. And he became very successful at that. But in doing that, he really fell from his faith. He became kind of an alcoholic and started drugs and all sort of stuff. But during that time, his life was not fulfilled. And so, Christ got a hold of him. What he learned as a child, Christ took that and got a hold of him. And he decided he wanted to serve. So he sold everything. I mean, he had some money, he had some good stuff, what he thought was good stuff. He sold it all, and he went on this thing of service. And not only did that change his life, it changed the life of millions of people. Probably, I never even heard of the guy, and probably you guys haven't heard of him either. So he tells the story of a young lady. And I think she was around 11 or 13 years old, another country. She had to walk miles, literally miles, to get clean water for her family. And she walks back to her village with this 40-pound pot on her head, 40 pounds. And as she's walking, the jar falls off. She's already walked miles. The jar falls off, breaks, water's everywhere. No more water for her family. She had no jar to go back and refill. And she didn't want to return home empty-handed. So she climbed the nearest tree and hung herself. I was a wreck on the courts. I'm sure Michael's coach was like, "What on earth is wrong with this nuthead?" I wanted that little girl's life back. I wanted her to drink water. And then share the water of Christ. So I got to thinking, I'd really love to take that kiddo and her family along a clean spring. Something where you could jump in, you could drink the water, you could fish in it, you could do all sorts of things with that water. And then, when there would be words of thank you, the response would be, "Don't thank me. Thank God. Thank Christ. Because he's the one that created it. He's the one that gives it. He is the source. And I'm here just to serve." Well, Scott Harrison, he did something about it. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of his story. It's pretty incredible. You can go to YouTube and check it out. Scott Harrison, if you want to jot it down. The charity water story is what it's called. And what you're going to find is how God works in an environment that is filled with enthusiasm, serving these people. And you remember, that's my favorite word of the year, enthusiasm, from entheos, which means filled with the divine. And he does this to bring life to people, both physically and spiritually. Now, what's interesting is that here in Lebanon, in the state of Indiana, everyone can drink clean water. We can find water bacteria-free. But we still have the young suicides, the depression, the teen pregnancies. So many folks who want nothing to do with God, they're missing even some spiritual water. It may not be drinking water, but they're missing spiritual water, but they're also missing physical water. Not physically from the tap, but a different kind of physical water, like clothes, food, and things of that nature. Now, how is it that the church, the supposed bastion of grace and love and mercy, does not seem to connect? We can so readily get our hearts wrapped around the little girl in Africa, but for some reason we don't seem to connect where we're at. And maybe it's because we as a church are too fat and sassy ourselves, or too ornery, or too full of ourselves. If anyone should understand that water is needed, it should be Christians. In Liberia, they need clean drinking water, and they need the living water of Jesus Christ. In Lebanon, folks need water of clothing and shoes and cleaning products and counseling and tutoring and mentoring and food and friendships and dads. And then, of course, the living water of Jesus Christ. Now, the older I get, the more I read and study Scripture, even the more I experience things in life, the more I understand that faith without deeds is useless. And that is what Scott Harrison found. If faith is not accompanied by action, it's dead. It's dead. Remember last week we studied the paralytic who was lowered through the roof so that Jesus could heal him. Well, what if he would have had faith that Jesus could heal him, but he stayed outside the house? What if his buddies, his friends who had faith, if they would lower him through the roof, what if they didn't lower him through the roof? We have faith Jesus can do it, but we just don't have any room to get there to see him or be by him or touch him. What if the woman who had a 12-year hemorrhage, having faith, she did, what if she shied away from touching Jesus and didn't touch him? Faith without deeds is dead. Well, several of us have faith that we're, you know, we've talked about ending in the black. Several of us have faith that we'll end in the black, or that God will keep us on solid ground here at the church. So, for the end in the black fund, you learned about that last week. You know, your staff, your paid staff, and then others from the executive council, they chipped in to the tune of $10,000 to meet our $45,000 goal. Faith without deeds is dead. Some of you had faith that God would provide in tough times. Maybe when you lost your job or whatever it is, and you got off your rear end and you acted on it and you found yourself a job. Or maybe you're paying off extra bills, so you found yourself a second job. Over 8 million people now have clean drinking water because Scott Harrison had faith. Faith that it could happen. What if he would not have acted on that faith? If you are not growing in your faith, it is because you're not acting on it. I just don't know if you can grow in your faith in God and in Jesus Christ unless you act on it in some way. I'm not talking about going out and doing good works. I'm talking about acting on your faith. I want you to turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. And listen to this. This is really quite good. And I'm going to read just through verse 20. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Well, good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. And then verse 20 there says, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Man, I love those verses. Those verses really hit home for me. So what if a Christian brother or sister or neighbor or even an enemy lived with life-threatening conditions such as a lack of clothing or food or even water? I mean, well-wishing words. If we go out and wish people well when they're living that way and do not provide any meaningful assistance to them, it won't help anything. It won't even help them solve their problem or find a solution for their problem. So if we don't activate our faith in such situations, what use is our faith? If we have faith in Jesus Christ and you're not acting on it, what use is it? How is it doing anybody any good, right? We're supposed to be a light out in the world. Now, I want you to hang in there with me because we're almost finished. We started off with Scott Harrison. We started off with water and a spring. So I want to close with the same word using that spring, but we're going to spell it S-P-R-I-N-G-G, and we're going to use it as an acronym. You all know what an acronym is? I keep forgetting, so I have to look it up every now and then. But S equals P equals that type of thing. So if you want to jot this down, it'll be very easy. I think they have it on the screen as well. S stands for spirit in spring. We're talking about spring water, the life of Jesus as the living water. So S stands for spirit. To activate our spirit or to activate our faith, we must invite Jesus into our lives and be filled with his spirit and say, Jesus, you are my God. You are my Savior. I know what you have done. You have died. You have given me life. And now I am supposed to go out and share that with others through faith. I'm supposed to act on my faith in you. But I need your spirit. I have to utilize that spirit of God within me. So S equals spirit, or stands for spirit. P stands for praise. I think praise is one way to act on your faith, isn't it? Praise God. We give thanksgiving to God. We hold him up. We lift him up. We humble ourselves before him. We give him all the glory and the honor. And so we praise God. That's acting on our faith as well. And then R stands for rejoice. I love the Apostle Paul. He tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. He was so excited about it in those verses. He was so excited about it. He basically says, hey, if you didn't hear me say it the first time, you need to rejoice. When? Always. So R stands for rejoice. I stands for investigate. Investigate what? Well, we have to have some knowledge, don't we? We have to have some knowledge of God and know God, make him known. So we want to investigate the words of God or the word of God. And so we need to jump into that word. We need to get to know him. And as we know, as we get to know God, we want to make him known. And part of our faith is then acting on that. How do we make people know or get people to know who at least God is or to hear about God? We have to act on our faith to make that happen. But we have to investigate the Word of God. The more that we have of that in our brains, the easier it becomes for us to act on our faith. And then N stands for another acronym. I've explained this probably a couple years ago, maybe, or someone. N stands for N.U.T.S. Nuts. Meaning, never underestimate the Spirit. So we have the Spirit, right? We're rejoicing, we're investigating. Now we've got to have the faith that we will never underestimate the Spirit. The Spirit has some big, some wonderful, mighty things for us to do. As Jonathan sang, right? God's not finished. We've been redeemed, so God's not finished. Never underestimate the Spirit and His power. And then finally, we have GG. Those go together. That stands for get going. Get going. Starting and acting on that faith that we are growing in means we get involved. It means sometimes you sit down and you write out an action plan. Here's what I'm going to do, or here's what we're going to do, or here's what the Spirit is leading me to do. So we write them out, and then we do them. Do, do, do. Always remembering to seek first God's kingdom. Now, you know what part of communion is about? It's about acting on your faith. When you take communion, you are acting on your faith. You're doing something about your faith. It's acknowledging what you believe about your Savior, that He died, that He took all of His sin, our sin upon Himself. He took it all to the grave. He got rid of it. He rose again. It's all of that, and we act on that today when we break bread together. Before we do that, before we break bread together, I'd like to give you some homework, and I want you to jot it down and try it. It's rather simple stuff to do. First is this. Read James chapter 2, 14 through 20, which is what we read, but then finish the chapter. I purposely left the rest of it out because it will make you grapple with your faith and your life. And we all need to do that. So read that. Take that as a little devotional time and read your Bible notes on that and stuff like that. Finish that chapter up. And then secondly, go to YouTube if you got YouTube, and if you don't, have somebody show it to you. Go to the YouTube and pull up Scott Harrison's story. And then let that sink in. You know, there are not many charities that Stacy and I give to, simply because we feel that all of our gifts, most of our gifts, almost all of them, need to come to the church. Our mission center. This is our home mission center. But man, when I saw this one, you gotta give 100%, 100% goes to bringing clean water to kids. And the way they have structured that thing, it's like, oh, my aching back. Where has the church been for years and years and years? It's unbelievable. Watch that story. I'm not asking you to give. What I am asking you is to watch the story and how God works through people. And when somebody acts on their faith, it can be just one person. When you're acting on your faith, it could be 8 million people. And even more than that, until the whole world knows and drinks from the living water of Jesus Christ. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we get set for communion this morning, would you open our hearts and our minds? Would you give us a tender heart for the community? For the things that are being done in the community? For our government officials? For church staff? For the congregation? And then, of course, for the folks that need to know you. Lord, just give us that heart. Fill us with your Spirit that we may act on our faith always, every day, whether it be a smile, a touch, or something even more powerful. Whatever it is, Lord, would you guide and direct us in that way? We thank you, Heavenly Father, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and or the bread, and he broke it and he blessed it and he said, "Eat this in remembrance of me." And on that same night, he took the cup and he blessed it. He said to his disciples, as we are being told today, "Drink this in remembrance of me. It's a sign of your blood, which was shed to take away all of our sin." And so, Lord, we lay it all at the foot of the cross this morning as we approach you, as we lean on you, and as we love you. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could have